What beautiful lines to be able to sing. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. Thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Hupton.
All of you can truthfully say, it is well with my soul. Say it.
Amen.
Now that's pretty weak. If your soul is resting upon the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know him as a reality, and that soul being purchased by that blood, then you can truthfully say, it is well with my soul. I trust that really is the language of each one here tonight, that it really is well with your soul. Should you not be able to say a glorious amen to that now? Maybe during the service you'll come to recognize your need of the Lord Jesus and own him as your very own Lord and Savior. Know the joy that it is really well with your soul. We're going to sing together. 605, just in case you've forgotten it. Now tonight we're not going to preach. We're just going to have a little heart-to-heart talk. We want you to open your Bibles at the 20th chapter of the Gospel by John. John chapter 20. Now I trust our hearts will be strangely warm tonight as again we listen to the Spirit of God through the Holy Scripture speaking to you and speaking to me. As the Lord Jesus was being hounded to his place of death, Golgotha, all that motley crowd were shouting, away with him, let him be crucified. We will not have this man to reign over us. Among that crowd were a company of godly women who found vent for their anguish in lamentation and in weeping. They were loved to bathe his feet with their tears of love and devotion and sympathy. Among them was Mary Magdalene, out of whom had been cast 7 demons. She had been forgiven much, and she loved him much. There was Peter's mother-in-law, so Peter must have been married after all, for he had a mother-in-law. She was there. Remember, out of her had been cast that terrible fever. The Lord came into that home, they had told him of her. He touched her, and the fever immediately left her, and she rose up, and she ministered unto him. The widow's name was there. Her son had been given back to her from the dead. Remember how the Lord Jesus met that funeral procession? He saw the weeping widow's mother. A great heart of compassion went out toward her. And he disturbed that funeral procession. He touched the bier, the coffin, and said, young man, I simply arise. He was dead, sat up, and he began to speak. And I love this with all my heart. He delivered him to his mother. He gave him back to the very soul from whence she had come. How understanding, how sympathetic, how compassionate is our lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Martha and Mary were there. They had had occasional visits from the Lord Jesus. How he loved to resort to Bethany. After the busy day, milling crowds milling all around him, there was a home where he was welcomed, a family where he was loved, and he loved them. And oh, how he from the Lord Jesus. Mary, his own mother, was there. She had the great privilege of the great miracle of that conception taking place within her. The great joy of bringing forth Christ into the world. She was blessed, highly favored among women. She was there. Now let us come back for a moment and just see how we fit into this picture and how we tonight should draw near and in faith and in spirit. Just allow our hearts to overflow in gratitude and in love and in true thanksgiving. Out of Mary Magdalene were cast 7 demons. When I was born again as a boy, almost 14 years of age, back yonder in Scotland, I don't know how many demons was cast out of me. The family saved the lion and the house become a lamb. Why? And the wonderful transformation took place. Because Christ came into the lion. There was a terrible fever caused by sin in your life and in my life. But we know the healing touch of our beloved Lord. That fear of sin is gone and gone forever. My sin, not in part but the whole, has been nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh my soul. We too have been dead in trespasses and in sin. But now we've been quickened into life. And tonight for the living to praise our lovely Lord Jesus. I trust all in this very fine congregation tonight have come to that place. When you've come from a conditional spiritual death into a sphere of spiritual life, and you're alive unto God through Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord. Oh, how ought we tonight to draw near and to praise Him and adore Him and to worship Him. Mary and Martha had occasional visits from our lovely Lord. But with us, He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The same yesterday and today and forever, lo, I am with you always, even to the consummation of the age. Ah, oh, beloved, I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with a cord of love, and thus he bound me to him. Round my heart so closely twined, those ties which not can sever. For I am his, and he is mine. And you know something? It's forever and forever. Every friend will fail and leave you. The one day soothe, the next day grieve you. But this friend will never deceive you. Oh, how he loves. Oh, the constant companionship of our lovely Lord Jesus to be living in the awareness that is with us every moment of every day. Do you know that joy tonight? All that fills my soul is Jesus. Do I know this moment by moment, day by day, filling my soul, flooding my whole life? Lesson is connection. Mary had the great honor of bearing the Lord Jesus, bringing forth into this world that where we are concerned as believers on the Lord Jesus, Christ has been born in us. He's come into our spirit life by His Spirit. He's taken up His abode in our life. And oh, it's a great desire that He might be formed in you and formed in me. And Paul said in Galatians 4:19, that great pastoral prayer, His whole heart moving up, I travail in birth again, and will Christ be formed in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, friend, have we not called tonight to draw near, and in spirit to bathe His feet with our tears, and prostrate our whole being before Him, and cry with all sincerity, and really mean it, oh, precious Lord Jesus, how lovely Thou art. Come and abide in, rule in my heart, break every fetter, Thy face let me see, then Thou shalt ever be precious to me. Is Christ a reality in your life right now? With all that before you, come now to this great classic, the 20th chapter of the Gospel by John. And just notice the very first there. The Thursday of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it is yet dark, on the sepulchre, and see the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now here you think of this lone, timid woman. Sometimes the women are referred to as the weaker vessel, but I wonder very often, is that really true? Is that really true? Also when it comes to courage and bravery, we outshine we men too. And here we find a case right here. Mary had been forgiven much, and she loved him much. And 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casteth all fear. There is no fear in love. Here she's rising early in the morning, while it is yet dark, to go to the place of burial. Her love and devotion is urging her on. Love knows no fears. Love goes through all barriers. We find it right here. When she arrives, what she found? She finds the stone has been rolled away. Aren't you glad about that, eh? Doesn't that do something to you in this enlightened age? Oh, I'm sure it does. Now look at verse 2. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples. I like the way John writes about this other disciple whom Jesus loved. You could put your own name in there too, eh? He loves you, you know. Oh, he loves you. And he understands you. I'm so glad about that, aren't you? Now see again. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord, notice the expression, the Lord, out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple and came to the sepulchre, so they ran both together. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. John the younger man outrun Peter, see the old laboring coming along, the old fisherman. The young John runs along there, gets first to the sepulchre. And he's sitting down and looking in, just a casual look, just a casual look. Saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, just as infectious as ever. Peter's out infectious, we know that, we got one. And went in the sepulchre, and see the linen clothes lie, and a napkin was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, wrapped together in a place by itself. Even death he must have the preeminence. Even death he must have the preeminence. Here we find now the linen band is lying as if the body is still lying there. But now we find the napkin not upon it lying by itself, a place by itself. Mr. Bill McCartney, whom we called in to see on our way down, he has written a tract on this. While the napkin, a place by itself, and he brings it out as the woman's covering. The bandage were there, never to be removed again. But the Lord, in his own glorious way, his own glorious way, and the one preeminent on death, he takes time to fold that napkin, place it by itself, and we're going to be used again. When? When the women cover their heads when they come in church capacity. The wonder of it all. Now isn't that just precious? The angel saw and looked down, there's the whole thing right there. Isn't that just precious? Doesn't it do something to your heart with my heart? I always thought this is, the Lord in all things must have the preeminence, or he'll never use those bandages again. And Christ in preeminence in life, Christ preeminence in death. I love that with all my heart. But John takes time to record that. The others didn't even mention it, but John noticed it. And with great interest he noticed, and he records it. Is there a message for your heart and my heart here tonight? I'm sure there really is. Oh, Father, shall we? They went in also the other disciple which came first to sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet he knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away unto their own home, but Mary who? I want to underline these three words. Encircle the little but. But Mary who? The disciples went away to their own home as if unconcerned. But not Mary. Mary loved them much. Her whole being's moving up toward the Lord. She's come to meet the Lord, and she's not going to go away without meeting her Lord. What happened? We find her wholehearted allegiance, complete devotion, her whole being moving out toward him. And while the apostles left her cold and unmoved, and they turned to earth home, for the reward Mary got, but Mary too. She shows here her wholehearted allegiance, her complete devotion, her heart warm love for the Lord Jesus. But Mary too. Don't we remember an Old Testament character in Ruth? She went all the way with the Umai, the poor to be her deliverer. Orpha goes back to Moab, the land of her nativity, back to God, back to her own people. But Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go, where thou dwellest, I will dwell. Thy people shall be my people, thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. For the wonderful baptismal text, where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And she goes all the way with the Umai, who appears to be her deliverer. What do we find? She has introduced a man whose name is Boaz. Boaz means a strong man. He's also a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man of wealth. And because of young Ruth's utter devotion and love and affection for the Umai, she's gloriously rewarded. She comes in contact with Boaz. She comes in all of impotence and powerlessness. She finds in Boaz her abundance of strength. She comes in all of penury and poverty. She finds in Boaz her abundance of wealth. And Mary Magdalene too. And because of her heart of allegiance, she too has a wonderful reward. What happened there? But Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stood down and looked into the sepulchre and sees two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain, and your heart shouts, what? Hallelujah! The body had lain. Thank God the body is no longer there. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Aren't you glad the cross is empty, and the tomb is vacated, and the crown is filled? I'll never forget standing in this grave. I can't sing. You can make a noise, but I certainly can't sing. If he gives you to say, there's plenty of volume, but very little melody. So there's the whole thing. I want to get, but standing in that grave, I'll never know, never forget this in all my life. My son, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Now he came out from the tomb. It was pouring with rain. People standing outside wanted to get in. Then I couldn't contain myself again. We started. Lo, on the grave you lay, Jesus my Savior. Waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. And up from the grave he arose. For the mighty cry of all is heard. And just that psychological moment, up in Golgotha, another great crowd of people stood there and they joined right in. They cried, Hallelujah! Christ arose! And all through the valley, I was showing my pictures on this in Brisbane in Australia a few months ago. Man from the congregation said, James, I remember that well, but I didn't realize it was you who started it. We all joined in that very day. Hallelujah! Christ arose. Did your heart say amen to that, eh? Ah, we don't present a creed, nor a code, nor a catechism, nor a church membership. We don't answer to John anything. We're answer to see a living Lord. And he by his very comes into your life, he'll transform your life. You'll become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Then you're saying he lives. You know he lives. He lives within my heart. Your heart too? Amen? Amen. Right on. With the body Hadley. I like that. Oh, I really do. Little fun, shall we? Verse 13. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She says unto them, Because of taking away another change here, my Lord. Verse 2, it's the Lord. Verse number 13, it's my Lord. I know not where they laid him. By the way, there were two in that sepulchre. One at the bottom, one at the head. I wonder who they could be. Who were they? Do you remember the two appear with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration? One with Moses and the other Elijah? Could this not be? Could these not be the same two? Moses and Elijah? You remember the two on Acts chapter 1, verse 11, who came back saying, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus was just taken up from you to heaven, your soul coming right now." You think, who are they? Could they not be Moses and Elijah? Who are going to be the two witnesses in the coming day? Are they not Moses and Elijah? If you're not quite sure, may I suggest you read a little of Baxter's Awake My Heart? If you haven't got that book, do get it. You can tell me if you're really good, I'll get it too. I've been away scores of them. I've never tired giving away that book from the best devotion you can ever get. Get 500 joyous words each morning. Not some fragmented old thing, but 500 words of choice Bible teaching. Now, he agrees with me. Moses and Elijah. I will not be like the Celtic preacher says. I will not be dogmatic, but I'm absolutely certain. That will you forget about that and think about it later now? Come back with me to my study, will you? And just as it says here, and when you turn the cell back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Now don't blame Mary. Even the disciples in chapter 21 didn't know it was Christ standing on the seashore. They didn't know. But love recognizes them, you know. Jesus says unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And he adds something, "Whom seekest thou?" The two, remember, earlier said, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And left it there. But now the Lord said, "Whom seekest thou?" And all the time he knew she was seeking him. Oh, his whole heart moving up toward him, all the joy and the encouragement that must have been brought to the heart of a lovely Lord that day. Where are the apostles? Where are they? This lone woman, there she is. Ah, what a reward she gets. First to hear his voice on resurrection ground. First to see him on resurrection ground. And some more. Just since what happens here, she supposed him to be in the garden and said unto him, "Sir, ain't thou his bone and hands, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Whatever she's going to do with a dead Christ, I simply don't know." But dead or alive, she wanted Christ. Now let me ask you lovingly, is this your heart's devotion? Do you love him like this? Do you know him like this? Is your whole being moving up toward him in wholehearted, complete, surrendered devotion to him? Can you look up tonight and say, "I've no one in heaven but thee, there's no one on earth I desire beside thee. Lord, thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill. Fix my eyes so wholly, Lord, on thee, that with thy beauty occupied, I elsewhere none may see." And all the glorious reward here. Jesus says unto her, "Mary." And you got a little way of saying that, you know. Oh, he alone. And as he said it, her whole being just thrilled within her. "Mary!" She turned herself and said, "Rabboni, my own dear master." And she got up to clasp him. The Lord said, "Touch me not. I am not going to send to my father. But go to my brethren." She is the first person commissioned by the Lord. And he commissioned her to go and tell my brethren. Oh, I know some people tell me Mary Magdalene was not very intelligent. Had she been more intelligent, she wouldn't have been there. I would rather have some person who got a cool head and a warm heart and a cold heart and a warm head, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you rather have someone who is in heart love with the Lord Jesus? Their heart white hot in love and devotion and surrender in selfless sacrificial service in his name. And some want to be so correct in orthodox things, correct regarding church truth, regarding church principle, regarding doctrine, and be as cold as ice. Friend, the greatest revival needed today is not more ministry, is not more manpower, not more money, not more new methods, not more modern music, not more modern versions, but for the individual believer to fall in love afresh with Jesus Christ. And friend, if that happens here during these days, our coming together is going to be really worthwhile. You're my friend, you hear such a lot of Bible teaching, beautiful exposition to God's Word. My humble desire and prayer long before coming here, that each of us is going to have a fresh vision of Jesus Christ and fall in love afresh with Him. The impact is going to have such a terrific impact, it shall be felt to the uttermost part of the earth. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Does He mean everything to you? Go and tell my brethren, Lord heaven, say unto them, I say unto them, my Father, the first time you ever come across this expression, knowing now in resurrection power is my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Young Ruth said, thy people shall be my people, thy God shall be my God. And she goes to tell the disciples, she has seen the Lord, and they told her all these things. And there was such a transformation in Mary's life, they couldn't deny. Friend, you can't come in contact with Jesus Christ in the same manner, woman, boy, or girl again. You just cannot. Our life was transformed by the risen Christ. I want to take the name Mary. The capital M-A-R-Y still spells Mary, doesn't it? Right over, her Mary, her name was marred. Her life was marred because of sin. Her life was marred because of sin. A, her life was altered because of her contact with Jesus Christ. First, we're going to teach them all night, goes something like this. I'm not going to sing it, so don't worry. It's a new life, oh how He changed me. It's a new life, He rearranged me. It's a new life, richer and fuller. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. And goes on from there. And when Christ comes to life, He really changes you. He completely transformed you. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your life is altered. Then R, our life is remade. Or if you like, regenerated. Remade or a new creation altogether. And lastly, her life is yielded. Her life is yielded. Mary, her life is marred. Her life is altered. Her life is remade. Her life is yielded. Maybe perchance not the sun light here, just like that. Your life been marred because of sin. But Christ is here tonight. Nearer to you than your neighbor. Looking right down deep into your heart right now. Put up the empty hand of faith and just touch Him, will you? Lord, I do believe You died for me. I believe You shed Your precious blood for me. And Lord, I own He's my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And your life will be remade. You'll become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things will be passed away. You'll become a new creature altogether. And your life will be yielded. You can't hold back. Oh no. You recognize He's Lord. You belong to Him. And from your very heart, you'll look up and say with all sincerity, reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to Thee. In everything, all it may be. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou in Thine atonement didst give Thyself to me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give. Henceforth live, O Christ, for the earth. Will you tonight? Will you tonight? Right now? You sit there. The Lord is here. The one who became dead, who is alive forevermore, neither to you nor your neighbor, just wants to say, Lord, I believe, and I receive Thee. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Will you? And those of us who do profess His name,
May I ask you lovingly, have you seen the Lord? Does he mean everything to you right now? If not, he's saying to you now, lovest thou me more than? Lovest thou me more than? And will you turn away from your heart with all your heart and say, I really mean it?
Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my heart, my life, my all. Your life once marred by sin will be altered by your contact with Jesus Christ. Your life will be remade, regenerated, and your life will be healed. Lord, I yield myself to thee. I've heard thy call, come give me thine all. Lord, I gladly yield to thee. That's only part of my measure. I intend to finish in the chapter tonight, but we must close right there. I see my time almost gone. 350. There's no button hurling or undue pressing. Not as you stand up or to raise your hand or come to the front, but if you're concerned about spiritual matters, then please don't go away. We're here to help you if we possibly can. Maybe your friend will help you and help you come and talk to us. If you tonight are a professing Christian and you're living a defeated life, now that is a contradiction in terms. There's no need for any Christian to live a defeated life. There's complete victory for you tonight in Christ Jesus, our wonderful Lord. Many here can testify to that, as it entered in by simple faith, the teaching of Romans 6. This can be your joy. We'll hear this now. 315, I've seen the faith of Jesus. Softly and carefully, I've seen the faith of Jesus. He smiled in love on me. It filled my heart with rapture, my soul with ecstasy. The scars of Peter's anguish were lost in glory bright. I see the peace of Jesus. It was a wondrous sight. The glorious face of beauty, a gentle touch of care. If he resists the blessed, what will and since I've seen his beauty, all else I count but loss. The world, its pain and pleasure, is now to me but dross. His light dispelled my darkness, his smile was all too sweet. I've seen the face of Jesus, I can't but kiss his feet. Do you know him like this? The third verse from our heart. I hear the voice of Jesus. He told me of his love and called me his own treasure. His hand defiled his love. It came like softest music across an ocean path. A glorious face of beauty, a gentle touch of care. It is so blessed. I know he's coming shortly to tell us all about the thing redemption story, the story of his life. Are you going with him? Did the Lord burst the clouds tonight and descend there, and he made? Are you going with him? Oh, please make sure of it before you leave tonight. And sing with all your heart, it is well, it is well with my soul. The last verse, softly, prayerfully. Thank you. I know it's coming shortly to take trouble. We'll sing redemption during the glory of his love. I'll hear his voice of music. We'll feel his hand of care. He'll never rest in faithful until he has us there. The glorious face of beauty, a gentle touch of care. If he redeems the blessing, will it be a prayer? We thank thee for the wonderful provision thou'st made for all mankind, blessed God, in the person and work of our lovely Lord Jesus. Now by the divine operation of the Holy Spirit in his immediate congregation, through thy holy word, pray thy word tonight may become alive as many believe thy word, receive thy word by simple faith, that in the Lord Jesus, the very own Lord and Savior, they shall know the joy that alive to praise him. Blessed God, this assembled company, from the youngest to the eldest, where not one may leave tonight without having seen our lovely Lord, having heard his voice, and felt his glorious touch, and responded with a glad assurance, Lord Jesus, thou art mine, and I am thine, forever and forever. Through Christ, our wonderful Lord.